You're listening to the Stephen Sexton Podcast. This transforming message will activate, elevate, and cultivate you for the next level. For more information on Stephen, go to stephensexton.org. Here's Stephen.
I think with all the plates that we spin, it's very easy to become preoccupied in life, allowing things that are most important to us to fade into the background. Even though we're all in different places, we all have many responsibilities, from employment, maybe you're an employer, marriage, kids, personal finances, the upkeep of the house, personal health, college, school, friendships. All of these plates are important, and we're committed to each one of them. But as we move from task to task, we got to keep watch and be careful that we don't end up in a place that we never wanted to be. You know, no one says, I want to be broke. No one says, I can't wait till I'm addicted. No one says, my goal is to choose a mate and then get really busy and by life's demands, unchoose them. No one says that I don't really have time or the want to develop my relationship with the Lord. But yet, if we were to be real and if we were to be transparent, there are times that we're all in those places. That we're looking around and we're going, wow, you know what? This is not who I want to be. Maybe we had a conversation with a friend or our wife or our kids, and as their countenance goes out of our presence, you realize that's not the dad or the mom that I want to be. That's not the person that I want to be. You know, the longer that we're on this road called life, there are some real challenges that we got to confront. But we can't do that if we can't see them. And tonight, my assignment is blind spots. Blind spots. Turn to someone next to you and say, I pray that God shows you your blind spots. Do that. Do that. I pray that God shows you your blind spots. Now, that's a very dangerous prayer to pray. Because we work really hard, especially Christian people who know the word. We work very hard at hiding things more than exposing things. We want God, come on, how many of y'all have prayed the prayer, God, teach me what you want softly, away from public eye, away from public, teach me in the shadows, with the whisper, you know what I'm saying? And so when we talk about blind spots, this kind of gets uncomfortable, kind of makes you want to wiggle in your chair a little bit, like, I don't know if I'm really ready for this. It's kind of like ordering some food that you're not really ready to eat. Let's turn to Judges chapter 16, verse 4. Judges chapter 16, verse 4. And before we start reading Judges chapter 16, verse 4, let's go back to the day when you learned how to drive. I know that there's some young people here that you were waiting for your day. But for me, I will never forget the day that I learned to drive a standard. I had already had my first car. It was an automatic, and I had wrecked that car. That car didn't make it long. And I had a red Chevy Chevette. Yeah, baby. 1986. Dude, I was rolling. You know, it wasn't until later that I discovered that Time put out an article of the 50 worst cars, and that was on it. So it was pretty exciting. You know, I had my little hatchback. I had my little 6x9s. I was bumping, you know what I'm saying, where you could hear all the rattling, and then I was cruising. I'd lay that dude down, and I would beat people walking. So that's all I cared about. But But if you were running, you might got me. It was fun to have that car. But I remember the day that I learned how to drive the Standard. This man that I was buying this car from, I bought it for $550. And when I was 16. So that tells you the quality of the car. And he says, so he's driving it and we're driving around. And he says, have you ever driven a Standard? And I said, no, I'd like to learn. And I want to buy the car, so obviously you need to teach me. And we're stopped at a stoplight, and he goes, great, and gets out of the car and comes around to the other side, opens the door and says, it's time to learn. And I was like, can we go to a back road? Can we go to a farm? Can we go somewhere else? I'm in a stoplight right there in the middle of everything. And he goes, no, there's no time like the present. And so he forces me to go over and get in the driver's seat. And so I'm driving, and baby, I'm grinding them till I find them. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I mean, I look like I have hydros on the car. And it's very embarrassing because I'm right next to my high school, and there are people that I know that are stopping next to me. And so it was a horrifying situation. But finally, I got up enough gas, I don't know, speed, that we cruised that bad boy in second gear all the way home. You know, something about driving that if you've been driving long enough, you know that there are blind spots. You know that there are places, if you're the driver, and seriously, there are a lot of responsibility and instruction that goes to driving. But before you're about to make a turn, it's always necessary to check your blind spot. This is the area where between the side view mirror and the back of the car, and it's almost impossible to see unless you turn your head and look over your shoulder. The key to making it safely into the other lane is you have to turn your head to see. A blind spot is an area that we can't see unless we take the time to look. We must turn our head in the proper direction if we're going to avoid wrecks in our life. If we don't, we'll make a decision based only on what we see. But you know what? And you've been there. You've seen people on the highway who went to go and merge into another lane, and they didn't know anybody was there, and so they jerked that dude right back into their lane. And you're watching this. Now, every one of us have blind spots, areas of unawareness. And yet, you know that many are suffering needlessly because of a failure to pay attention to the various blind spots that are in their life. The sad thing about blind spots is they're often visible to everybody else. You know, come on, you've been in church long enough to see people act a fool. You've been there, you've had friendships, people at the house, a Christmas get-together, family reunion, and maybe you've had a conversation with your wife as you're leaving this party of friends and family, and you've said, "Why don't they know how they're acting? Can't they just see how they're behaving? I'd just like to hold up a mirror and show them how they're acting. Don't they know how they come across to everybody else?" Katie and I have witnessed personally good, Christian, solid couples who got caught up in their own agenda and never saw their blind spots. And because of that, their family is divorced today. We've seen the mother and the father who have the goals to provide something for their kids that they never did. And so in working hard and long and late, they forfeit in their minds a small time with their kids so that they can, in turn, later on in life, have this great relationship and financially provide for them the life that they never had. The only problem with that is time went by. The kids grew up without the relationship of mom and dad. We've all experienced other people's blind spots, but today, if we're brave enough, let's look in the mirror and let's see maybe if the Holy Spirit today could show us some of ours. Church, tonight I want to encourage you to keep watch, to turn your head, to reprioritize your priorities. Church, we can't let the demands of our day keep us distracted from making a good decision. In Judges chapter 16, verse 4, I'm not going to read this whole story, but you know it. Let's read this. Sometime later, he fell in love, we're talking about Samson, with a woman from the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The ruler of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength. And how can we overpower him that we may tie him up and subdue him? Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued." A wreck was coming for Samson, yet he never saw it. Where were his friends? Where was his desires? What was the most important thing in Samson's life? I'm not going to go through and read the story. You've heard the story. You've had the story preached to you. We know that time and time again, he would tell her something different. But finally, it got to the place where he gave her the most trusted secret and told her that it was all in my hair and that if I would cut my hair, then I would lose the thing that God had blessed me with. Didn't he know what he was going to lose? I mean, let's stop and let's back up from the story a little bit. And of course, hindsight is 20/20, and we can easily look at other mistakes with other people. But let's look at this. Samson, he was born in a special time in Israel. Seven times the nation of Israel had rebelled against God. At this time, the Philistines were oppressing Israel. And had been oppressing them for over 40 years. The Philistines were Israel's worst enemy. Samson means sunshine. In the darkest days of this nation's history, a glimpse of hope came to the world. A little sunshine came into a dark day. Samson had been given great strength. On one occasion, he slew over 1,000 men. Over 1,000 men. Now, I don't care what guy you are, but you gonna brag about some stuff like that. What'd you do today? I killed an elk. What'd you do today? I worked on the camel. What'd you do? I whooped 1,000 folk. Big men. Whooped them down. Bam! You wanna see the jawbone? As it's dripping with red. Brave, you know what I'm saying? It's an epic moment. Dun, 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 dun. Epic. Another time, he lifted, they had closed the gates on him, and he ripped off the gates and put them on a city. I mean, you know you're bad when they try to lock you in jail and you rip off the gates, go to the highest place and go, ah! How those working for you? Samson got run. A lion ran up on Samson and he killed this lion with his bare hands. Come here, kitty, kitty. I mean, this dude was no joke. It wasn't. Samson was the man. I think Samson. You know, I don't necessarily think that Samson was a huge guy. I don't think Samson was like, you know what I'm saying, some big bowed up, crazy, you know, just rocked guy, bodybuilder type. You know, when I was young, I used to think it was like Samson and He-Man, and they were like together, you know what I'm saying? And instead of by the power of whatever, it was God. And so, you know, Samson, you know, we couldn't scratch his back because, you know, he was all bowed up. But obviously, that can't be the case because if you looked at Samson and you knew where his strength came from, you wouldn't have asked. But everybody was shocked at the fact that this guy could be this strong. And so all of the people of Philistine, all the Philistine leaders, they came to him and they said, hey, what's the secret? Why can you do these things? In fact, she lured him in and said, something's different. How are you able to do these great feats? Obviously, if he looked like he could do it, we would know that it was your workout, your schedule, your eating, your low carb, your intake. It couldn't have been anything like that. It had to be a supernatural power. That people are looking at Samson and go, what is coming out of you can't really happen. What's going on? What's different about you? Why can you do these great things? It had stumped their enemy. And was he really ready to jeopardize everything? Was he really ready to jeopardize all of this? He was the answer for Israel. You know, it's easy to look at him, but 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober of spirit and be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. According to the Bible, we see that the lion roars, and you can go back and read in Amos. Now, the lion roars not when he is hungry. The lion roars when he has stealthily and strategically maneuvered himself to a place where I can get you, you're in my grasp, there's nothing you can do to evade me, and I let you know I'm coming, so there's no way you can get out. Remember Jesus? Peter, don't you know? Don't get prideful. Satan wishes to sift you. But I've been praying for you. And after you return, what I'm saying is it's very easy in life to have blind spots, to have areas, because we're so focused on building and making and creating that we miss the things that are the very most important things to us in our life. No one here wants to be divorced. But how does that happen? No one here wants a child to grow up and feel unloved in their house or feel like they never got noticed or they were the middle child or they were the last child. But how does that happen? You know, it's very easy to parent the first child. Now, I have four. It's really easy to parent the first child. You know, pancake. Second child, patty cake. Patty cake. Third child, would you play with him? Blind spots happen. And I'm just talking about things that I can relate with, but what about things that you can relate with? Blind spots. In Amos 3:4. It says, will a lion roar in the forest when it hath no prey? Meaning, no, he won't. The lion roars when he's about to get you. Listen. You have to know that it would be an attack on your family. You would have to know that the enemy does not want you to raise godly young people. The Bible calls the young people that we raise arrows that we get to launch and shoot out into our culture. What I'm saying is we can build and work for great houses, but when we break it all down, what good is a big house with broken arrows? What good is an awesome 401k when you look over at the person that you're sleeping with and you realize that you're strangers? how important is being the top dog or the top salesman? How important? Well, and whatever it is for you, blind spots. I know that each one of us here tonight work diligently, and God has blessed the hands of your effort. But don't allow a blind spot to destroy everything that God has been doing in your life. Some of you are sitting on 17 years of marriage. Some of you are sitting on 6 kids or 3 kids or 2 kids. Some of you have 3 years left before your kids leave the house. Some of you are making plans to go to college and to do different things. Some of you are on the verge of graduating. Watch your blind spots. Watch it. 3 ways to deal with blind spots, and I'm going to give you these 3. The first is this. Take a moment. Man, we can get so jerked up in life, and we got this coming and that coming, and we've got that decision to make, and we've got that to happen with our house, and we're handling all this stuff, and before we know it, we've never taken a minute, and we just make the decision. Because we can, because we should, because we know, and we go into a lane never really taking that moment. We assumed it would be okay. We assumed we could go there. We assumed we could do that. We assumed. But if we'd have just taken a moment, if we'd have turned off all of the distractions, see, we got the phone call, and we got the radio on, and we got the kids in the back seat, and we got all this plates that we're spinning, and we just kind of gravitate. Be careful. Be careful. Just wait. Big decisions. Wait. Wait. Just take a moment. Are you in a situation that is consuming you? Here you are, and you know you're in this situation, and you know that it is starting to steal your joy. You know the situation is starting to exalt itself higher than the Lord in your life. You know that it's becoming an all-consuming event in your life. Take a moment. Take a moment. You're really thinking about making this decision. You're really thinking about selling and doing all this. You're really thinking about, wait. Just wait. Just a little bit. Just wait. Don't be too busy to turn your head. Church, don't be too busy to turn your head. Moses' whole encounter and the beginning of his ministry started when he turned his head and he saw what God was doing. Don't be so consumed with where you're at and what you're doing that you never take time to turn your head. It was when Moses turned his head that he saw something extraordinary, and it set a course for the rest of his life. Don't forget to turn your head. Blind spots. Take a moment. Rest. Rest. Do you make the greatest and best and most wise decisions when you've had no time to think them through? Or do we need to rest? I'm about to make a big decision here. I need a couple hours. Well, I can't afford it. You can't afford not to. I'm about to make a big decision here financially. I'm about to buy this property, or I'm about to buy this house. I'm about to build. I'm about to do something. Rest. I'm not saying don't act. I'm not saying don't do what you feel like you need to do. I know that God speaks to you, but I'm saying that sometimes we just handle things, and it's just a process, and it's like fast food, and give it to me and go, and give it to me and go, and give it to me and go. But life does not operate fully on just give it to me and go. You're going to have to rest. You're going to have to rest. I know you're impatient. I know you want this to happen. I know that there's a vision and a calling in your life. I know that you want these things to happen. Rest. Listen, resting doesn't mean you quit. Resting doesn't mean you give up. Resting doesn't mean that you're not handling the business that you have to handle. It means that you want the right mind at the right time. And you got to look over your shoulder enough to see is anything there that would hurt this journey. Second thing. Three ways to deal with blind spots. First one's take a moment. Second one, keep people in your life who will speak the truth to you. Keep people in your life that will speak the truth. I know how uncomfortable it is to have opposing people and personalities in your life that don't think that every idea you have is great. But what I am saying is the Bible is very clear. We are to be iron sharpening iron. Where in the Bible is God wanting your comfort? But we are comfort-centered, and all of us at times deal with the fact that I would rather not be around, I would rather not deal with them, I would rather, all I'm saying is, where are all Samson's friends? Probably he surrounded himself with people who admired his gift but would never speak to his character. Whoa, you can kill 1,000 people, I'm your boy. Whoa, you can kill a lion, I'm your man. Whoa, you can rock gates. Man, you're awesome. We're just going to do whatever you say, Sammy Sam. And he never had anybody. Boy, what are you doing? You're entertaining this woman and she is an enemy. Don't make a life that has no friction. Blind spots will take you out if you don't have someone who can speak to you and speak the truth to you and do it in love. Not where they are critical of the decisions that you've made. Not where they are lording over you like they know what you don't. But someone who will speak the uncompromising word. Someone who will speak the truth to you. You've got to have those people in your life no matter how old you get. Because what we think is, I'm grown. I know stuff. I can make my decisions. I'm 60. I'm 50. I'm 45. I've had my kids. I'm not going to let anybody tell me. See, Samson could have said that. I've had my victories. I've whooped these Philistines. you gonna tell me to watch out for the Philistines? Man, I know the Philistines way better than you. So you gonna take your blind spots. We make it about pride instead of realizing that real friendships that come in and work and tell truth and love. You don't want to surround yourself with just fans. You're so great. You're so awesome. You're so great. Oh, you're so wise. You're so this. You're so this. You start believing it. I'm the smartest person in this whole county. You really think that? Now, there are a lot of people that are smarter than me. I get it. But nobody can be extremely smart in every area. You got to have people in your life that will check you, that will speak to your integrity without offending you, will say, okay, is that where you want to be? Is that what you want to do? Is that the kind of statement you want to make? Is that where you want to park your car? Is that who you want to be friends with? Is that, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, blind spots. Blind spots. Everyone, and I'm not picking on anybody, but we all try to gravitate towards easy. We all do. And so I don't want to be around this type of personality. I want to just watch a movie. I just want to get some pizza. I just want to relax. For how long? God is not interested in how easy life can be. God has a plan for your life, no matter how young or how old you are. And God, and the whole purpose, and we've kind of skewed this a little in Christianity, because we play the Jesus loves me, and we act like we are the apple of his eye, when I'm telling you, the apple of God's eye is God. It's him. He's number one. Now, he loves us and sent his son to die for us. But the bottom line is, first in God, the first that he cares about is him. I am a jealous God, and I want nobody else before me. Watch the blind spots. Watch the blind spots. Because if we're not careful, we'll wreck. Not because we're not trying to do everything right. We never surrounded ourselves with people who could see what we couldn't. The third thing. Three ways to deal with blind spots. The first is take a moment. The second is keep people in your life who will speak the truth. And the third is this. Invite the work of the Holy Spirit to order your footsteps. You got to invite the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of like marriage. You get married and you're on the stage and you say, I love you, or I choose you, or I do. That doesn't work. That scenario one time doesn't work in the marriage. It has to be a bunch of I do's, a lot of times, every day, forever. Well, I got saved and I had an experience with the Lord and it was an emotional experience. I remember when I kind of got my life focused. But every day, there are thoughts that want to rush your head. And you have to say, Holy Spirit, today lead my steps. Not, we had an experience, he knows how I feel, you know, that's my boy, you know what I'm saying, he floats kind of in here and does my thing. And every day, Holy Spirit, I want to make a decision. I know there's blind spots out there. I know that you see what I can't see. And I know why you're sent. You're sent to be the comforter. You're sent to be the helper. You're sent to be the revealer of truth in my life. And if there are blind spots in your life, maybe it's because truth hasn't been able to speak to you. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life, to order our footsteps. Come on, allow him into that business deal. Allow him into the wedding planning. Allow him into the purchase that you're about to make. Allow him into this relationship that you're starting. Allow him into the conversations that you have with your kids. Allow him into your marriage or the issue that's in your marriage. Allow him into what college you're going to go to. Allow him into the friendships that you choose to hang around. Because I'm telling you, God, I see. And Paul can attest, and people who have been in the ministry and people who have been in church a long time, there have been a lot of unnecessary wrecks because people didn't take the time. They removed people from their life, and they wouldn't listen to the Holy Spirit. And my encouragement to you today is I challenge you to check. I challenge you to look over your shoulder and see if something's there. I challenge you to see if you're drifting into a lane that you don't want to be. It is not God's heart that any should perish. Keep watch. Keep watch of what you allow and what you entertain. It's my prayer tonight that you would see clearly, that he would reveal to you the blind spots that maybe you don't even know are there. Now, if you're here, I want to tell you this. If you're here tonight and you have already felt the damage of a blind spot, I want you to know that God is a restorer. God is a restorer of those who diligently seek him. And your run wreck doesn't have to be your anthem. God can turn it around. I know that there's pain in a wreck. I know there's hurt in a wreck. I know there's broken dreams in a wreck. But what I want to tell you is God can restore everything that the devil has come to take away. If we'll allow him. If we'll allow him. Don't give the devil one more inch in your life. Don't give the enemy one more inch in your life. You know, the frustrating thing about being a pastor is you can't make people hear. The great thing about being a pastor is the ones that do. Don't allow the blind spots to cause damage in your life. Come on. 50% of marriages end in divorce inside the church and outside the church. The same statistics on how much we deal with our kids, how much we spend family time with our kids are the same in the church as they are outside the church. And I know that we are an exceptional church and we love family, we teach family, we have good families. But even good neighborhoods can have bad things in it. Watch the blind spots. For those of you who felt the sting of a blind spot, God loves you. And God will forgive you. And God will restore you if you are humble. Well, you know, it was that girl. Well, you know, it was that person. Well, you know, it was my ex. Well, you know, it was, and it's always everybody else. It's always everybody else. Really? If everybody is doing the same thing, maybe it's not everybody. If you're the common denominator, then maybe God's trying to knock on your heart and say, if you'll break, I'll heal you. I'll heal you. I'll change your life. And so today, the question is, will you look at your blind spots? Christian couple, you love the Lord. You were sold out to him. Will you look at your blind spots? Man of God, will you look at your blind spots? College student, young person, teenager, will you look at your blind spots? Look at who you're hanging out with. Look who's influencing you. Today, what I'm telling you is God has great things for you. And a lot of times the enemy sifts us because we're just not aware that he's there.
You've been listening to the Stephen Sexton Podcast. Your life is by design, so don't fall into average. Be more, do more, know him more. Thanks for listening.